Well, we've got open lines for you now, but first I want to tell you about this strange story of Robert, sometimes known as Robert the Haunted Doll. It's a doll that was once owned by Key West, Florida painter Robert Eugene Otto. The doll, which is allegedly cursed, has become a fixture of ghost tours in the Key West area since it was inducted into the Fort East Martello Museum. Eugene was given the doll back in 1896 by a servant who, according to legend, was skilled in black magic voodoo and displeased with the family soon afterward. It became very clear that there was something eerie about this doll. Eugene's parents said that often they heard him talking to the doll and that the doll appeared to be answering back. And although at first they assumed, of course, that Eugene was simply answering himself in a changed voice, they later believed that the doll was actually speaking. Neighbors claimed to see the doll moving from window to window when the family was out. The Otto family swore that sometimes the doll would emit a terrifying giggle and that they caught glimpses of it running from room to room. In the night, Eugene would scream, and when his parents ran to the room, they would find furniture knocked over and Eugene in bed, looking scared out of his wits, telling them that Robert did it. When Eugene died in 1977, the doll was left in the attic until the house was bought later on. The new family included a 10-year-old girl who became Robert's new owner. It was not long before the girl began screaming out in the night, claiming that Robert moved about the room and even attempted to attack her on multiple occasions. More than 30 years later, she still tells interviewers that the doll was alive and wanted to kill her. The doll is annually rotated to the old post office and custom house in October, with museum staff claiming that strange activity in the museum increases during such times. Now, there's a picture of Robert the Haunted Doll on our coasttocoastam.com website. Why? Because very soon, Joshua P. Warren, our paranormal investigator, we'll be going to see Robert the Haunted Doll. You're finally going to do it, huh, Josh?
At long last, George, and I must say, honestly, there is already this atmosphere of strangeness kind of settling in around this whole project. And it's very strange altogether when you talk to dozens of people in an exotic place like Key West, and as soon as you bring up Robert the Doll, you get this very somber kind of tone. And I've had at least three people tell me, "Well, Mr. Warren, if you're going to come down here and you're going to seriously investigate Robert, you should know and fully accept something. He is alive. And you have to be prepared for that because a lot of people are not." And it
Wow.
kind of gives you goosebumps.
It does, and this emission of a terrifying giggle. Ugh.
I'm going to try to document as much as possible about what is happening around this doll. And you know, I just learned something a few hours ago that gave me a slight tingle in my spine. Eugene, the owner of this doll, was born October 25th of the year 1900. And October 25th is my birthday also, George. So the synchronicities are starting to pile up here. And, you know, I know that Key West is going to be a fantastic island of beauty and mystery altogether. So I plan to put together a nice comprehensive portrait for you and the listeners, a great report about what all is happening at this special place. But Robert is that central figure that adds this kind of gravity to it all. And so I am going to approach him in a very respectful way. I'm going to be as non-invasive invasive as possible. And what I'm thinking is, regardless of whether or not you're afraid of him,
Are you afraid of him?
I definitely believe that items can be cursed. You know, I'm kind of uniquely qualified to do this because
Yeah.
I've worked with haunted dolls before. I do think curses are real, and I therefore think that if I were to go in there recklessly, then I would have some need to be afraid. So I'm very cautious about it. but I'm not going to do so. The one thing everybody seems to agree on here is that he has some consciousness, he has some awareness, and so I'm going to perform a variety of both traditional and non-traditional tests to see if I can document some aspect of living dynamic energy similar to what you might find around an organic being like a human.
Can a doll be possessed?
Absolutely. In fact, it seems like that the idea of creating a doll, especially if it's one of a kind, it allows the creator to kind of imbue the item with this energy that is an extension of the person who made it. And if the doll were made for loving purposes, then it becomes very cherished for its warmth and the sort of affinity that the children might have for it. But if it's made for some type of dark purposes, many claim Robert was, slipped in there perhaps almost because the voodoo practitioner who made it didn't like the family, then there could have been something that was very, very dark and threatening. I don't know which it is. I'm trying to be very open and unbiased, but here's what I would really like. I'm hoping that I'm going to be there the second week of August.
Well, you're going to have a workshop when you're there, right?
I'm doing a workshop, and what I would like is for as many people as possible in the Key West area who have had experiences with Robert and other interesting things to contact me, because I'll be performing interviews and so on down there for this report I'm putting together for Coast. And I also am doing a one-night workshop while I'm there, and it's about how to investigate ghosts, UFOs, and ESP professionally. And then I'm also going to do a second one that night about the wishing machine. And at joshuapwarren.com, I've got a video you can watch about Robert the Doll. And if you click on public appearances, then you can find out how you can come see me in person at that workshop. I've got 50 seats available. And so this is going to be a very interactive experience for me. And once I put all this together, I should have some absolutely groundbreaking, fresh information that you will receive exclusively here on the airwaves of Coast to Coast AM.
Super. Thank you, Joshua. We look forward to your reports. Be safe when you're with Robert the Haunted Doll. I'll be back in just a moment now. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back now to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. And let us go to the phones. We'll go to June in Hobart, Indiana, east of the Rockies, to get us started. Hi, June.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Yasu, dear heart. Listen, back in June, specifically the 4th of June.
June, back in June, right?
Uh-huh. The 4th of June. I wasn't doing so good. My health was like, you know, on shaky ground. Well, here's July, and I'm doing much better.
Good.
And I called to wish you Chronia Pola. It's Ian. Happy birthday. I missed it on the 4th, so happy belated birthday.
I'm glad you're doing much better.
Oh, I am. Thank you. Thank you. So, okay, the first time I ever talked to you,
mm-hmm.
I did a song for you. And, of course, I'm still the Whistling Lady of Northwest.
That's
Indiana.
You. That's right.
Yes, yes, yeah. So, let's see. The first song I ever did for you was...
Ubla di ubla da, right?
There. How about that?
That's not bad.
I still got it, love.
Old Beatles song.
Yes. Ubla di ubla da.
That's right.
Life goes on.
You got it. Thanks, June.
Welcome, darling.
All
Have
right.
a great one.
Thanks. That was very nice. Birthday was a few months ago, but that's okay. She explained. Let's go to Monroe, Louisiana. First time caller, Ralph. You're up with us. Hi, Ralph.
Hello, boy. I was hoping I was going to get on here. Listen, I had a demon last night. Was throwing knives and all kind of stuff. I tried to rebuke him with the Lord, and put X's with olive oil all over the house.
Wait.
And blessed him in Jesus' name.
You did everything right. Did it work?
No, because he's still here. He's hitting me with magnets tonight.
Magnets?
Yes. Off my refrigerator.
He's taking the magnets on your refrigerator and he's throwing them at you?
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't see him, though, do you?
No, I've not seen him. We locked ourselves in my bedroom, me and my grandson. and he throwed a knife, and it went in a half inch in the other side of the wall. He was hitting me on, I guess, 30 or 40 times last night.
Why is he in the house, Ralph? What's going on there?
We put our computer on. We got this new analyzer deal, voice analyzer that for a DVD.
Yeah.
And it collects his voice. And his voice says it wants me to go with him.
Don't go.
Well, I'm hip to that.
Yeah, don't go. I'm going to give you some advice here. You're going to have to go out and get some sage and sprinkle it all around your house and keep doing what you're doing. All right? Not a good situation. And get, if you can, the grandson out of the house. Next up, we've got Doug in St. Louis on Coast to Coast. Hey, Doug, go ahead.
Hey, George. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you. Hey, you're originally, I guess you're from St. Louis?
Yeah, I go back and forth.
Okay, you're familiar with Midtown St. Charles?
Yep, I sure am.
Okay. Our house here is about 140 years old.
Oh, that's one of the classics. And St. Charles just got named one of the best cities to live in, by the way.
It is. It is. We love it. We have weird happenings in the house here. About 6 months ago, my fiance had heard what she described as a banshee scream in the house here. Up on the second floor, we have a three-story house here.
Okay.
And I laughed it off and thought she was crazy. And about 3 months ago, we're laying in bed listening to your show, actually, one night, and heard it right out in the hall outside the bedroom door. And I guess they attribute the banshee scream to I don't know, some kind of a warning or something. I don't know. You might know more about that than we do. Basically, just kind of wanted to get your insight. You know, we thought it could have been the dog, you know, in the house. And the third time, we were downstairs, and the kids were up on the second floor, and they heard it. And the dog was outside. So, you know, we just kind of wanted to get your insight as to what you think it might be.
How long, Doug, have you two lived in that house?
Oh, I'm about 6-7 years now.
6-7 years. And do you have any history in terms of what might have happened years ago there?
Kind of. The house that we're in now, I guess, apparently used to be some kind of a servant's quarters for another house, which is, I guess, on the next block over. It used to be one large property here. And, you know, I've been down to Main Street on the, you know, the Historical Society and kind of looked up some of the history. But it doesn't give you a whole lot as to any kind of happenings. It basically gives you lists of people who have lived here and things of that nature.
Well, now this is historically what I know about banshees. In Celtic lore, these are female spirits. So does this sound like a female?
As far as what now?
They sound like banshees are supposed to be female spirits.
Yes.
And, you know, here's the bad news about it. It's supposed to be an omen of impending death or something.
And that's really wild because my fiance's mother had a stroke, and the banshee, we heard the scream the same night that we got a phone call that her mother had a stroke.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, can you turn the radio down a little bit? I'm getting feedback.
The radio's not on.
It's not. Okay.
That's her talking in my ear.
Man, she sounds like the banshee. Okay, I'm going to have to put you on hold when I talk to you. And also, are you seeing at all any kind of bluish ghost or anything like that?
I haven't seen anything. Of course, we have the door closed, and we weren't on the second floor. You know, we weren't in the hallway when it had happened. But we've heard it about 3 or 4 times now. Doesn't seem to be malicious in any way. It's just a little bit spooky when it does occur.
No, they're not malicious. But what they do is they bring these messages, these omens of impending doom of somebody. So just keep your eyes open on that one, Doug, and be well. I'm going to be in St. Louis, by the way, in another week or so. So off we go to Milwaukee. Another Doug. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show,
yeah,
Doug. Hi.
Yes, hello, George. Yeah, I talked to you once before, but I had a vision about 14 years ago that was about going into the future. It had to do with I was meditating and trying to meditate the best I could, to meditate all day long, and I got really good at it. And finally, while I was working out at the health club, I had a experience when I was resting, listening to a song I really liked, where I imagine myself being everywhere at once, and then I entered a vortex kind of thing, which was similar to like a workout. It was like I figure out a fifth dimensional workout, and I went into the future. And yeah,
the vortex workout, we'll call it.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was kind of like similar to, you know, doing a physical workout here. And what happened is I experienced a life in 2312 and five different ways. Then I experienced another life in 2525.
How did you know the years? Did you see something?
Well, no. What it was is that those dates were real important. That's all it was. 2312 was important because it was 300 years after 2012.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
And 2525 was important because that Zagmi song, you know, that they said in year 2525.
In the year, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then the next one was in the 31st century. And that was a real big one. It was real interesting. But I spent like the last 14 years trying to relive that vision that I had.
Of these three periods, which one did you like the best?
The 31st century.
You did?
Yeah.
How come?
It was like really advanced. It was real fun, you know. I actually had a experience with a vision later where we were playing a video game. We're in a park, and they had these real brightly colored spaceships, and we were doing like laser tag, and we were doing a battle with the spaceships, you know. They were attacking us, and we were attacking them, and it was a lot better. It was full mechanical thing. It wasn't a video game, you know. It was fun.
Well, it's good to know we're going to be around.
Yeah, that's what that song was in 2525, they're still around, you know. That's why I thought the guy tonight was kind of cool. It reminded me of that vision I had, but it was so intense that it changed my life from that point on, you know. So I didn't even try to do meditations. From that point on, I just wanted to get back to that one vision that I had. And I've been able to do it.
How do you do it? Just at will?
It takes a lot of concentration. I've read tons of stuff. I've read all of Carlos Castaneda's books seven times.
Mm-hmm.
And the sorcery is involved with meditation, and I've read a lot of other stuff on meditation, and you can learn it, but it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of effort.
And at any point, are you afraid of this? Has anything gone wrong?
Actually, yeah. In the 2312 meditation, the guy that I was in that one was afraid to even remember back to 2012.
So something happened.
And that bothered me.
Did you find out what might have happened?
No, I haven't. I'm trying, and it's like it. What it was is he couldn't stand the mood of the people at the time.
Well, you know what? There's no question, Doug, that the mood of the people right now, is one of just they're just, I don't know, in a different world, literally. Maybe not a different time gap, but they are in a different world. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Well, we can't have a Friday night without thanking you for supporting Coast to Coast AM. So thank you, those of you listening to us on your favorite radio stations across North America. And you StreamLink members, thank you as well. Don't forget Android and BlackBerry apps coming around the bend. So pretty soon. XM Satellite, thank you to you, those of you listening on that. And the various chat room and groups. NighthawkZone.com, folks. Hello. Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, National Radio Club, the Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo Chat, Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group above TopSecret.com, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and Greg in St. Louis cooking away. Hello to all of you.
And thank you for keeping Coast to Coast the number one rated show in the country. Okay, and keep your fingers crossed that this makeshift cap is going to work on the BP oil pipes down there in the Gulf of Mexico. Strange situation. I've got a lot of people that are emailing me that they claim they still think it's leaking somewhere, probably seeping up from the ocean floor because of the pressure situation. But we'll keep our eyes on it. Let's go to the phones. Skagway, Alaska. Keith, west of the Rockies. Hey, Keith, go ahead.
Hola, amigo. How are you?
Fine, my friend. How about you?
Oh, doing fine, George. Hey, can we touch on the end times again?
Sure.
Okay. The world is changing. Things really are rock and rolling. Nobody seems to know what's going on. Everybody's running around all scared, huh?
Yeah, they are.
I know. The only thing I can figure out is the Mayans were keeping time according to the stars in the heavens. They must have known or had found out that our world is changing and came up to 2012 as something astrological might happen.
I'm losing you a little bit on the phone, Keith, but the Mayans knew something. They were a tremendously intelligent, advanced race of people. But something went awry. And whatever their message was, I don't think it was clearly passed down to us. But we don't have that much long anymore. A little more than 2 years. That's it. That is it. As you know, we've got Skype. So if you're on your computer and you have Skype, it's dial us up at George97313. And, of course, you can always send us a text message, as producer Tom has one for me now.
I do. Gary from Atlanta, he wants to know if you think that the Illuminati is active today, and he wants you to explain a little bit about who they are.
I think the Illuminati is active today. They were active yesterday, and they're going to be active tomorrow, too. It is a group of elitists, no names mentioned, because though we can all guess and speculate who they may be, they're above governments, they're above people, but they're extremely wealthy. We can all make our own assumptions of who these folks are. They are, as I've always said, the puppet masters to the puppets of the world. And what they want, in my opinion, is power and control.
Well, you know, you and I have always talked about the Tom Cruise movie Eyes Wide Shut, and I think that really depicts the Illuminati and what they're about.
Yeah, and you know, that movie, and a good movie, which you have to watch a couple times in order to understand it, I think only scratched the surface of what they were doing. I think when that movie was coming out, the message was, hey, this is happening, folks, and that was the way Hollywood tried to let us know. But they're out there. They're out there. I think they have their own underground caverns. They have places to go. They have bunkers. They're ready for the end.
I agree with you. Gary, get the movie and you'll find out.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. Next up, let's go to Great Falls, Montana. It's Jesse's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jesse.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. I want to tell you a story for a long time.
Sure.
For you guys that actually listen to me and believe it, too, it's, I can back it up, too. Approximately 14 years ago, I was working in the hospital. And I started having lowered abdominal pains. Boom, it was weird. Worked Monday through Friday, went through the whole week. Come Friday, I was hurting so bad, and my doc says, go up to ER, lay down, see what's going on.
Yeah.
So I came in, the doc said, okay, lay down, touch me. And he says, he told me, touch where it hurts. So I told him. He said, okay, that's your appendix. And he asked me to, is that running your family? He said, well, my mother had caught when she was 18. She almost died. Okay, fine. Take the weekend off, go back to work, same thing. Monday through Friday, I worked the same thing. Come Friday, I had 106 temperature.
Oh, my God.
Around. It was horrible. I could barely walk.
That's convulsion time, isn't it?
It almost was, too. Same thing. Went to the ER, laid down on the bed, same doc came in. What's going on? Touch where it hurts, same thing. Boom. He goes, okay, looks like it's about to go. Let's do some blood work. The blood work came negative.
So he was baffled, right?
Well, at both times, yes, absolutely was. This is the weird thing, too. He says, okay, now you're not going to work again until we figure out what's going on. So you come back in the morning, and I did, for the whole day,
8 hours.
You know, Jesse, if I was the doctor, I would not have let you go. I would have kept you in the hospital.
Well, he actually wanted me to, and I said no. I'm kind of stoic about stuff. I'm sorry, but I said I actually worked there at the time. I worked there too. I lived very close to the hospital. Okay, I worked very close, and I appreciate what you're saying, and I do. But anyway, I was okay. I could walk around. But anyway, I went home, and he said, now after all these tests, I had they test my gallbladder. They gave me another thing for they test my all this stuff. Anyway, but negative, 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 negative. Is it okay now? This is what I think was going to happen. Now most people, when your gallbladder goes bad, it just goes your appendix it goes bad, bang like that. But yours, some people have they're in tune with their body, and your appendix is telling you it's about to go.
Right.
Now I want you to go home and be around people, because when it goes, it's going to. I guarantee it. Be around people, because you think you're in pain now, you just wait. And you'd be rushed to the hospital. I said, okay, fine.
You
went home.
And you could die. You could die right there, like you said.
Absolutely. So I went home, and my roommate at the time, Steve, he was a big fisherman. He said, I ain't watching your sick butt. He went fishing, boom.
Off you went.
So I called my sister, who her husband at the time was out of town all the time. He would work on the train. So I called her. I said, Sarah, my sister, come over and watch some football with me. You know, well, I'll buy some beers.
My appendix to bust, right?
Well, whatever. I mean, you know, just hang around with me. Fine. Went over to my place, and about an hour into it, she started feeling weird. I went, what's going on? She goes, I'm starting to have lower right abdominal pains. I said, come on. She goes, seriously. So I called the ER, and I asked her. Her name was Gail, the nurse there. I said, she asked me, Jess, what's going on with your pains, and it's still there. My sister's having lower right abdominal pains. She goes, what's the punchline? I said, there's no punchline. There isn't a punchline. What do I do? She says, if it gets worse, bring her up here. Okay. Within 15 minutes, I had a Camaro, really small car at the time. I had to carry my sister, put her in the passenger seat, drove to the hospital really quick, walked her in the back room, well, the back door. I had the code because I worked there. Within 15 minutes, she was in emergency surgery and her appendix taken out.
How bizarre.
Bang. Okay. I still have my appendix. Mine never came out. I still have it. It was so weird. Like I said, and the doc told both of us. When I walked in the room the next day after she had her, he said if she would have been here, there were distension marks all over the side of it, on the side of her, too. He said, if she would have been like 5 minutes later, she might have died.
And had she not come over to see you, had she stayed where she was, she would have been alone, right?
She would have been alone. She would have no one around, and her phone happened to be out of order at the time, too. I have to come over and say, let's go to my house. Exactly.
I am going to, and I assume you got better really fast after that, right?
Well, I had the pain the whole night. The next morning, I woke up, and it was gone.
Yeah.
It was just gone.
I think for some reason somebody was giving you these false symptoms to save her life.
I heard that from someone at the time. A little after that, I was dating a girl who was a Wiccan, and she had friends who was a psychic. And she just, not even knowing me, she touched a personal object of mine. It was my belt buckle. Anyway, she says, I think that you have a strong bond with your sister, and you saved her life somehow.
I think
and,
so.
And I have no idea. But that's, isn't that...
Jesse,
I
that's
can
a
prove
great
that.
Story.
I can prove all that. I can prove it, too.
That is a great story.
Well...
you were her guardian angel.
In a way, it was kind of funny, because her husband showed up that next morning, and he shook my hand. He was in tears, because she almost died.
Oh, I know it. That's remarkable. I love it. Thanks for that story.
No problem.
That's a Christmas Eve story, but that's pretty darn good. Let's go to the Highlands, New Jersey area, east of the Rockies. Hey, Dan, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call,
George. Sure thing.
About your last guest, I had a occurrence when I was growing up. It actually lasted for a long time. My sister had gotten one of those hand puppets with the monocle and the top hat and the...
Oh, yeah, Charlie McCarthy, right?
I don't know exactly what it was. I was little at the time. All I know is it really scared me, and... one day I went up to my sister's room, which was, you know, pretty much forbidden at the time. And I noticed she had all her stuffed animals in a pyramid-shaped pile. And I said, you know, what's that all about? And she told me, dummy. Dummy is the given name to the
thing, yeah.
To the thing, yes. She goes, dummy's under there. And I said, well, why is dummy under there? And she goes, because dummy moves. And your last guest mentioned that, you know, the intent of when something's made can affect how it is. And I kind of realized that my sister knew that. She just didn't actually know it. That's why she put all her precious stuffed animals and things piled over it, and oddly in a pyramid shape.
Trying to hold him down, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And then when she got a little older, she moved out, and, you know, she said whatever she left up in the room, you know, it was mine. And so I went up there, I, you know, got Dummy out of his box, and I brought him downstairs. And I don't know if many people have experienced this growing up, but one of the worst things that you can experience as a child is seeing fright in your own parents.
Yes.
When you have an object like that. And my parents were repulsed by it, and it really, you know, kind of really creeped me out. So I put it back up in the room, and I didn't really go in the room often. And when I would go in, I started noticing that Dummy wasn't where I put Dummy. And, you know, I told my mom and I told my dad, and I said, you know, what should we do about it? And my mom was pretty superstitious, and she thought, like, if I were to hurt it somehow or do something to it, that, it could hurt us in some way. I mean, there was always paranormal activity in our house to some degree or another. So, you know, that kind of added to the fright that this thing had over our family. It's sad thinking that an object like that can have power over the people
are
living.
And how long did this puppet stay with the family?
Well, she moved out. My sister moved out about when I was, when I was around 9 years old. And
took it with her?
No. Well, no, she left it. It was one of the objects she left that, you know, where I was allowed to have. I was around 15 years old when I decided to, as I term, kill Dummy. And the most frightening thing that happened was I couldn't live with Dummy anymore. I mean, for a certain point in time, I stopped going upstairs. I couldn't sleep upstairs anymore. So I told my mom, I'm like, listen, I know it's my sister, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, was supposed to be comforting.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, we gotta throw it away. And my father was a World War II veteran. I mean, he was in Finchhaven and New Guinea, you know, island hopping.
So he's cannibal. Tough guy. He's been around.
Yeah, he's seen cannibal headhunters and you know, like all kinds of things. And, you know, to see fright when I bring something near him really messed with me. So I decided that it's time for Dummy to leave. So I didn't think anything of it after maybe like a week or so. And I decided to go upstairs and there was Dummy. And, you know, I came running downstairs in tears, and I didn't even have to tell my mom. She just knew by looking. And she, you know, she started crying. She said, he's up there, isn't he? And, it just blew me away. So I sort of had like a psychotic moment. I went upstairs with a steak knife. Now, I'm 15
goodness.
Years old at this time.
Yeah.
And I'm shaking. And I started hacking and slashing at it. And the more I'm hacking and slashing at him, the more ill I'm feeling.
Like a crazy man, right?
Yeah, like totally psychotic. I'm feeling nauseous and hyperventilating. And
I'm sure you're screaming at the thing, right?
Oh, definitely. My parents knew what was going on up there, you know? And, I mean, with every toss of his stuffing, I literally felt more and more nauseous. So, you know, finally, when I felt as though he's been defiled enough, I wrapped him up in a bag. And when the garbage man came that next morning, the next pickup, I saw him off. I made sure he was off. And I can say for sure that, you know, he never returned. But I have a warning for your last guest that, you know, there's a saying that when you look at something, you change a part of it. And when it looks at you, it changes a part of you. So I suggest for your last guest to wear sunglasses and don't let this Dummy look him too hard in the eye.
Well, Dan, let me ask you, in view of that, What happened to you along the years since then? I mean, did anything strange happen to you?
I could be a guest on your show. I've had so many paranormal experiences. I learned how to lucid dream I overcame my mother's death through dreams, and it was a very odd dream. And through that dream process of overcoming my mother's death, I learned how to lucid dream. But since then, I've sort of abused my lucid dreaming because I decided that it would be a good idea to contact God. And what had happened is I wound up in a round room made of oak and white, beautiful white walls. There were no doors. Well, there were doors, but you would have to climb over the round desk that surrounded you to get to one of them. So I'm waiting. All that I knew is I had to wait. But what did I do? I tried to open one of those doors. And the moment I started to slide that door open, I woke up, and I haven't been able to lucid dream since.
And you're convinced the puppet has really never come back, even in spirit?
Well, we have sold the house about 10 years ago, but I still think the energy is there. I really do.
Yeah, that could be. That's another. Open line calls tonight are just absolutely stunning. Stunning. Let's go next to Kathy in Dayton, Ohio, first-time caller. Hey, Kathy, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's great to talk to you.
You too. What's going on?
I just started listening a few months ago, and I listen every night.
Super.
I drive at night.
You're hooked.
I'm hooked. It's so entertaining, and I've learned so much. But tonight, when your caller was talking about the fifth dimension or whatever, I tried real hard to get in to talk to him because I wanted to ask about dogs. And then you had that other caller who called in and had that experience with a dog
right.
who had died. And I was real, real excited to hear that because I had a dog that was given to me on my birthday when I was 6 years old. And she lived to be, I think she was 14, and she died. And like 6 months later, I was wide awake walking through our family room, and she all of a sudden she was just there walking towards me. And she wasn't there very long, just a couple minutes, but I petted her and I cried and I was just amazed. And then she just disappeared, just poof, gone.
Yeah.
And when my mom came home, I told her about it. And she goes, "Oh, honey, it's just because you miss her so much." And you know, she didn't believe me.
And you said, "No, Ma, there's a little bit more to this than that."
Yeah, I know she was there. So about 6 months later, it happened again. And I didn't tell her. This time I was in bed, but I woke up and she was laying right next to me. And I petted her for a while and then went back to sleep. And when I woke up, she was gone. But I learned not to tell my mom about this. But it was just always in the back of my mind, how is this happening? And now I think...
Now
that's
you know.
Happening.
Yeah. Now you know. Kathy, we're going to take this break. We're at the top of the hour, but souls of animals, they are just as strong and powerful as souls of human beings. It's all interconnected. We'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie.